and system check for your phone. With your permission, this is Parashat Emor.
Promising his Lord. That we have is called Kiddush Hashem. This is Mitzvah Aseh. That you have to do Kiddush Hashem. What it means is you have to make Hashem's name holy. What it means is that a person should try in his behavior, when he behaves, that his behavior should be something in a positive way, that since we are so-called the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so when we behave, we make Hashem's names holier. It's one of the mitzvot aseh. Another of the mitzvot lo taseh, one of the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is called Chilul Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. Somebody should not make Hashem's name cheap. Disgrace Hashem, yeah. This statement that we call Chilul Hashem, disgrace Hashem's name, it's not so simple. The Gemara says it depends who you are also. What is for some of the Chachamim said, for example, me, one of the Chachamim said that I don't walk the whole day with tefillin, it's called Chilul Hashem. I should have walked the whole day with tefillin on my head and my hand. Another Chacham said, this is for me, Chilul Hashem is if I go to the butcher and I buy some meat and I don't pay on the spot and I tell him I'll pay you later. So that thing was called Chilul Hashem, it depends on the person in a way. Of course, there's something obvious that is for everyone, but not everyone is really obligated in the same way. It's no measurement, there's no exact measurement. What is called Chilul Hashem, disgrace Hashem's name. Again, for some people, a certain act is Chilul Hashem, for some people it's not. But definitely it is some acts that everybody agrees that it's called Chilul Hashem. If again, it's one of these words, what does it call Chilul Hashem? Of course, Chilul Hashem means that you disgrace Hashem's name. It's a very bad sin. The Gemara says that everything might be considered Chilul Hashem. The Rambam in his commentary, when he talks about this mitzvah that you have in this parasha, if you want to take a look, this is chapter 22, sentence 32. It says, "Ve'lo techallelu et shem kodshi." This is lo ta'aseh. So again, this is the Lota, and it's one of the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But the punishment for this sin is enormous. The Gemara comes and says a statement like this, that if a person does this sin, and this is a regular sin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yom Kippur waves it. If the person does a sin, that for that sin he deserves Chas V'Shalom death, then again, the Yom Kippur does Teshuvah, and then also HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him such a little bit of hard time in his lifetime. The Gemara says, for example, if you buy a suit and the suit doesn't fit you, or you want to take some pennies from your pocket and you don't have the right amount that you want to take out, all those things called Yisurim. It means this kind of little suffering that helps to waive the sin. But for Chilul Hashem, says the Gemara, for disgrace Hashem's name, there's no kapara, there's no forgiveness until the death. It means, doesn't matter how many taniyot the person will do, how much isurim he's going to have, it says, no forgiveness. Says the Gemara, Masechet Yoma, only death. Gemara, the Midrash, Chachamim, and others will say, well, it's true, but the repair, and maybe fixing it, is when you do Kiddush Hashem. If you do the opposite thing, what Chilul Hashem, disgrace Hashem's name, you did the opposite. You made Hashem's name bigger, holy, and important. There's some kind of forgiveness for that thing, it's called Chilul Hashem. But Chilul Hashem again, this is according to Gemara, and that's Halacha and Raman, this is the worst thing in the world. So we were thinking, you know, Chilul Hashem means, you know, somebody goes outside and he does some certain things, and we say, oh, look at him, look at the Jewish person. He does that thing, you know. This is a Jew, this is a religious Jew, it says forget about it, again it makes Hashem's name cheap, that's it. So again, you, maybe it's called that you're embarrassing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe. But this is something worse, for example, than to kill somebody. See, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is much higher than that. So to say, if somebody, for example, embarrasses a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way, the way he behaved, this is worse than somebody killed somebody. It's hard to believe that this is worse. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, so I didn't respect the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I behaved not directly, and I embarrassed the Kadosh Baruch Hu indirectly. Indirectly I did something. Indirectly, that's the worst in the world. Really, there's no forgiveness until death. It says this is worse than killing somebody. When you kill somebody, there is a forgiveness for that. If you do any sin, Yom Kippur and some kind of suffering, just weigh the sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. All the sins. The whole sins we have, Shin Sarachen Lota say. That's 365 mitzvot, don't do in the Torah. 364 of them, Hashem will waive it on Yom Kippur. There's one he will not waive. What is Chilul Hashem? What's Chilul Hashem? What did you do? Well, nothing. I know I went to the barbershop, I took a haircut. And over there at the barbershop, I didn't pay him on the same day. I told him I'm going to pay, and I forgot to pay. I didn't pay later. That's called, according to some Chachamim, it's called Chilul Hashem. So this is worse than killing somebody.
No,
there is a Ramah. Mitzaper b'mitag, Gemara omeret. The death waves it. But it's hard to understand what Chilul Hashem. If I go on purposely, and I know, for example, Chas Shalom, that's what the Nazi Mashimam did. They took the Torah in the ghettos. Somebody that was in Ghetto Kovno told me. That the Nazi came and they took the Torah from their own condition. They rolled it on the street. And in Hitler, Yimach Shemo, they said he wrote Hashem's name on his car and spit on it. So even this, again, if you're going to measure it with Hashem's important things, so what's more important to Hashem? If somebody is going to kill somebody, and that they did such a thing, Hashem will waive it. Even Avodah Zarah, somebody worship Avodah Zarah, so Hashem will waive it. But Chilul Hashem, Hashem will not waive. Why do you want to waive? But indirectly, but not exactly. So here comes the Gemara and says even further. That's Halacha in the Rambam. Chilul Hashem is nothing to do with public opinion or you're doing it in public. This is in your own room. You're in the kitchen. You're in the kitchen and you do something. You do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called Chilul Hashem. So now we lost everything. What does it mean? So everything is Chilul Hashem. Now it's not in the public domain. Not in the public eye. Says the Rambam, b'chadrei chadarim. You spoke Lashon Hara in your kitchen, Chilul Hashem. What Chilul Hashem? Nobody heard. I said, was on the telephone with somebody. Nobody heard, nobody listened. I said, Lashon Hara. The Rambam says, that's Chilul Hashem. So that's Chilul Hashem. Everything is Chilul Hashem. So what's that mitzvah? Again, this was chapter 22, sentence 32. Now, if you give permission, chapter 23, sentence 1, immediately after, this is the paragraph that we read on the second day of Pesach. This is the paragraph that we read on the first day of Sukkot. It's called Parashat HaMoadim.
We do know already about the Mo'adim, about the holidays. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about the Parashat Mishpatim, Sefer Shmot, as well Parashat Ketisa in Sefer Shmot, and here is the third time. Of course, you find over here some more detail, what you don't find in the other places, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have written, should have wrote the, those details either Parashat Mishpatim in Sefer Shmot or Parashat Ketisa in Sefer Shmot. Hashem did not have to wait here, and now it's a repetition. Are we going to learn about the Mo'adim? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot? He says, I know about it. Hashem told me about it. Again, Hashem will add some kind of information that, now there, let Hashem put information down there. What is the significance? Hashem is to repeat now the Mo'adim. So with your permission, chapter 23, sentence 1, so again, Hashem said this, we are going to talk about the holidays. And Hashem emphasized, those holidays, is the holidays that Hashem tikru otam b'mo'adam. Says the Gemara, what does it mean, that sentence, Hashem tikru otam, Mikra Kodesh, that you're going to call them? It says, the Mo'adim, we have the power to set the calendar. What it means is, of course, this is the moon, or even without the moon, it's nothing to do with the moon. According to some Chachamim, it's nothing to do with the moon at all. Can you do the calculation the way we have it today? It's a machloket amud Chachamim. If ever we had to do it according to the, with the moon, or the moon is just a significant sign when it's Rosh Chodesh, but again, you don't have to actually to go and look for the moon. Machloket in Rishonim about it. But anyway, we know what Rosh Chodesh is. It means Bedin comes, and Bedin say Rosh Chodesh, this is when Rosh Chodesh is. And according to that statement, that's when we have the holiday. So Bedin has so-called the power to decide when it's Pesach. That means when the Bedin will decide when it's Rosh Chodesh, of course, on the 50th day of this month, this is Pesach, we sit down at Leila Seder with Mazal. It says if Bedin will decide that a day before, a day after it's Rosh Chodesh, it means that particular day that we thought it's Rosh Chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh. It means Pesach is going to be moved according to Chachamim. This is all the Mo'adim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, every month it has any holiday in it. The holiday is not set. It's not Memorial Day weekend, it's not July 4th. This has to do with the decision of Bedin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah, that's explanation of the sentence, Asher tikru otam, Mikra Kodesh, you have the power to call those dates as holidays because you're going to set the time. It says, it's not automatically, when you look at the moon, you say, okay, now it's the moon, and then this is Rosh Chodesh. No, it's not true. Sometimes you have the moon, and then in the beginning you decide, Rosh Chodesh is a day later, sometimes it's before, it's nothing to do with the moon. The moon is a sign, it is a sign, but you cannot sit at home, and you decide, I saw the moon, it's Rosh Chodesh. It's nothing to do with that. It is Bedin has to do it, and again, Bedin has the power. Not only that, the Gemara says, the Malachi HaSharet asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Rosh Hashanah on Elul, he says, Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah? As HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have no idea. It depends on the Rabbanut, depends on the Sanhedrin downstairs. When they decide Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Then when Bedin said Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the Hashanah and said, I see, my children downstairs, they decided when is Rosh Hashanah, today is Rosh Hashanah. So again, Rosh Hashanah is not something that we have set up from Sheshit Midrashit. It says Hashem gave it to the Chachamim. Again, today we have a calendar that Tilel, Rabada, Shmuel, it's the whole thing, it's the whole thing to do with Chos Kiddush HaKodesh in the Ramah. If you ever look it up, it says we have a calendar. Again, the calendar is set, and the calendar is not 100%. Something comes 100%. You go and call it the calendar, if you have Mishnah Berurah at home, you read, the Chafetz Chaim himself in the Chot Rosh Chodesh brings over there, he says that sometimes it's not exactly, we have to move it, but we cannot move it because the whole calculation of the years will be disturbed, so we need let go, and the Chafetz Chaim himself writes over there that certain years will come, and Rosh Chodesh will not be on the right day that really should have been Rosh Chodesh, but according to the calendar, this must be Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't matter. As long as Hashem wrote over here in the Torah that we have the right to announce Rosh Chodesh, then whenever they set the calendar over 1,000 years ago, they said this is Rosh Chodesh, forget about it, it doesn't matter, it is true Rosh Chodesh, even though again, should have been sometimes Rosh Chodesh move left or right, but it's not important. Again, it comes from this Pasuk, It says very important. It says, how come Hashem said it over here? And it says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu already spoke to us about holidays. In Parashat Mishpatim, Parashat Kiddusha, over there Hashem should have said it. Hashem should have said there. You should know, those holidays, they have to be the Din's decision. Hashem waited till here to say that. Hashem took all time in Kriya Kodesh. Here Hashem said, listen, this Pesach happened to be this year on Sunday, you know, because of the calendar. And it says, what about the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, whatever the calendar shows, I agree with the calendar. What's your opinion, Kadosh Baruch Hu? I have no opinion. It says, I understand, like, I feel different. I said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's your idea? I have no idea. Don't ask me when is Rosh Chodesh. He said, it's such an important thing, should have been said much before, not today. He said, this is Parashat Emor. Or he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Rosh Chodesh, maybe Parashat Mor. If not, Parashat Mishpatim, Parashat Kiddushin, and she speaks about Moadim. I said, the first time, he said, you have Moadim. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu should have said, listen, I want to tell you, Moadim, they have to do with Rosh Chodesh. When is Rosh Chodesh? Bedin had the power to announce wherever the will Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara said, Afilu Shogigin, Afilu Mezidin. I said, even if Bedin will make a mistake, said the Gemara. And Bedin will say, okay, I'll stay for Rosh Chodesh, and somebody will come. What's going on? I spoke so much, or the battery is running so fast? That's what it means. That's what it means. That's a proof. That's a proof. There's a crisis in energy, you know.
No, these are.
So the Gemara says, "Afilu shirgin, afilu muzidin, afilu mutin." It says, even somebody will come to Bedin and says, "Hey, Mr. Rav, excuse me, when is Rosh Chodesh?" He said, "Well, we set up the calendar." He says, "Let me show you something. I learned all the calculation. I'm sorry, you made a mistake." And the Gemara says, "Maybe he made, maybe he didn't. It's irrelevant. Bedin had the power to announce Rosh Chodesh, and if they announce it." And you come later and say, oh, hold it. You know what happened? Rosh Chodesh is on the wrong day. And then what it means, Rosh Chodesh is on the wrong day, it means Pesach is on the wrong day. Yom Kippur is on the wrong day. Yom Kippur is on the wrong day. That's not on the wrong way. They didn't have the power to do it. He says, they didn't have the power to do it. Let Hashem write it right away when Hashem spoke to us. In Sefer Shemot, Parashat Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Hashem says, also, you know, the Moadim is you have the power. Of course, it means if I call Rosh Chodesh, this is the power of me calling when is the time of the holidays. Okay, fine. Let's assume this is not a good question. So now, I know we're talking about holidays, because holidays, this is the time that we have a power to set holidays. But everybody agrees we have no power to set Shabbat. Shabbat is set up from day of creation. After 6 days came Shabbat, and automatically it's next Shabbat, and that's to do with Bedin. Bedin have no power to change Shabbat. Yes, it is, some Chachamim, you know, I heard that it was a shul someplace, that the rabbi decided that Shabbat is a different day because he couldn't come to shul. I'm not joking. I don't think I'm joking. I'm serious. No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. For the shul, the rabbi was a little busy on Shabbat. He couldn't come to shul. He told the comrades, next week Shabbat is Sunday. So I show up on, so anyway, the drive over there in the shul, but it doesn't matter. But he said, Shabbat, I move Shabbat. He said, if I can move Sukkot, I can move Yom Kippur, I can move Shabbat also. So he moved it. But according to us, of course, in Shabbat you cannot move. Shabbat is a set thing. It's not to do with Rosh Chodesh, it's not to do with the moon, it's not to do with Bedin. So I would expect, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the statement, Ele Mardai, those are my holidays, so the first holiday Hashem should say Pesach. Instead of Shishi Tanin Tasei Melacha, Shabbat is coming here. I said, Shabbat is coming here. Shabbat is not Kol Chag, it's not a Moed. Shabbat is the Shabbat. Of course you can tell me Shabbat is also some kind of a holiday. It's possible, but it's not to do with the statement. The statement you just told me is talking about Hagim, about Moadim. And Moadim, you have a power, Bedin have a power to set the time of Moed. And then, okay, what are they? It says, the first one, ששת ימים תעשה מלאכה, שביל שבת שבתו מכקודש, ולחר לא תעשו שבת היא לשם, שבת, לא למד, שבת, שבת is not מועד, שבת is not, you cannot have a power to set שבת whenever you want. So בשבת, what did השם write שבת away? Now I'm going repetition of מועדי השם, זה בחודש הראשון, זה חמס פסח, and if you skip this sentence 9, this is the Omer, it's the mitzvah of the Omer, the second day of Pesach. Again, this is details about Pesach. Okay, maybe Hashem, you know, Hashem, if he wants, he can do whatever he wants, of course, Chas Shalom. But Kadosh Baruch Hu decided now, when he talks about the Moadim, again, certain things that already we know before, and there's nothing new to us. And so now we're talking, Kadosh Baruch Hu fit inside the mitzvah of the Omer, and then immediately sentence 15 is mitzvah Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirat HaOmer is exactly what we do every night. As we say, bracha, we count the Omer. Special mitzvah in Tavar Bet HaMikdash, everybody agrees this is the mitzvah Me'atorah. It's one of the 630 mitzvot that every day. It's not the bracha, Sheikh Nistak Zolam, Mordechai and Esther, and 120 Chachamim decided about the brachot that we do, the form of the brachot, and the brachot themselves. But again, it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah to stand up and to say, Ayom Echad LaOmer. Ayom Shivat Ayom LaOmer. It's the mitzvah. The bracha again is not so important because of the brachot chachamim. Anyway, it's the mitzvah I say in Tamar Bet HaMikdash for sure. A lot of time as well as the machlokes among the chachamim is today, even though we don't have Omer, don't have the Midrash, maybe it's still a mitzvah to count the Omer. To count the Omer. So the Midrash and all the chachamim after the Midrash, they all say that the reason for that, the counting, is we should get to that day, it's called number 50, this is Shavuot, to show how much we expect to get to that destination. That my goal is Chag HaShavuot. Okay, fine, it's very nice idea, but if you ask me, the first and the most important thing is Chag HaShavuot, we should start counting on Rosh Hashanah. Because really the Gemara says, Yom HaShishi VaYechulu HaShamayim VaAretz, from creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting when somebody is going to accept Torah. Eretz Yara V'Shakta, the Gemara says, if Am Yisrael would not accept the Torah, Hashem said he's going to destroy the world. Efor et ha'olam letohu v'avohu. It's very important accepting Torah. It's so, if that's the reason, that's what the Midrash of Chachamim said, it, after Pesach we start counting the Chachamim. Of course it means because we came out of Mitzrayim, we came out of Egypt, and 49 days later we got the Torah. I understand. But if the purpose of the Mitzvah is to show how much we love the Ten Commandments, the Torah, and we're waiting for that, in our time, Hashem should say, you know, in your time, on Rosh Hashanah you start the counting to show when is going to be Chag HaShavuot. When is going to be Chag HaShavuot? I love Chag HaShavuot. You love Chag HaShavuot? Okay, this has to do with love. It's not to do with counting. Even the counting will not help. It says, just because you say it doesn't mean that you're really waiting for it. Maybe you're waiting for the cheesecake and the blinches. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't say bracha for that. You don't say bracha, you know, ayom shivat, ayom laomer. It says, what do you mean? It says, well, 70 days passed from Pesach, and so much is left for Chag HaShavuot. It's to show you I love Chag HaShavuot. If you love Chag HaShavuot, you love it anyway. And if you don't love it, counting will not do with it anyway. Okay, then Baruch Hashem, we have Baruch Hashem Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's also very strange. And according to us, of course, Yom Kippur is the holiest of the holiest and the most important day of the year. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hint about Yom Kippur until this is Parashat Emor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about Yom Kippur, about the Moadim, Parashat Mishpatim, Parashat Pilisa. Excuse me, Hashem should have added over there also, by the way. And you don't have just three holidays, you have five holidays. Three of them really is joy holiday, but two of them is also holidays as well. It's called Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's called Yamin Tovim. It's not Yamin Tovim to say Halel, the way the Gemara Rambam says, okay, but it's still holidays. In holidays, the Kadosh Baruch Hu waited till Parashat Emor to give us so-called the news about those two holidays called Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What happened till today? There's no Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur till today. How come? What happened? We came out of Egypt, Hashem says you're going to have Pesach, and you're going to have Shavuot, you have Sukkot. Just when we came out of Egypt, Hashem said you're going to have three holidays. Why didn't Hashem tell us also about this? There's going to be Rosh Hashanah, there's going to be Yom Kippur. I don't know. Maybe. Again, after the egg is also says Parashat Tikisa. And after the egg, right? Yom Kippur itself, it's very strange. Very strange. There's a person, you know, with all the respect, you know, somebody was caught by a policeman, he didn't stop in a red light. So the policeman catches him and says, license, registration, and says, officer, I'm sorry. Patati, abiti, pashati, thank you very much. Mechila. Sir, license, registration. There's one more thing you say, you'll be handcuffed. Next week they push you on the street also. I says, okay, fine, you got the ticket, you go in front of the judge, he says, Your Honor, I'm very sorry, I'll never do it again. And also did I need today. So what do you think the judge will say? You come, you keep on in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. Not you're sorry. The Gemara says, actually, Hashem waves the sin. So what do you mean you're sorry? And every year you say you're sorry? And you really take it, you know, for granted, you take it seriously. Hashem waves it, you know, forget about it. Yom Kippur is coming. I listen to all the Chachamim say. Sefer HaChinuch said, all the Rishonim say, you know, without Yom Kippur, Hashem will destroy the world because it's going to be piles and piles of sin. And really, actually, Hashem waves it. He says, Hashem waves it. Why? Because people fast and they come and they confess on Yom Kippur and they ask for Hashem's forgiveness and then Hashem waves it. Says Hashem waves it. What do you mean Hashem waves it? Somebody did something he's not supposed to do, so you have a fine. There's no such thing that Hashem waived it. Hashem doesn't waive it. Hashem doesn't waive things. He says, if this is a sin, it means you committed a crime. For committing a crime is not enough just to come from the judge and say, I'm sorry. You got to pay the damages. Then you beg it to somebody with a car. You go outside and say, I'm sorry. Shalom. He's leaving the scene. He's going to be arrested. I said, listen, I said I'm sorry. So how does Yom Kippur work that you say you're sorry and Hashem waves it? I understand Hashem is God of mercy, but it needs some logic. You can't just say, you know, Hashem waves things. And the last story in the parasha, with your permission, this is chapter 24, sentence 10, where it says, Ben Isha Yisraelit, Hu Ben Ish Mitzrim V'toch Ben Yisrael V'natsu V'machaneh Ben Yisraelit V'ish Yisraelit. So it means the story of the Gemara says the following, there's a lady in Egypt, her name was Shlomit Bat Divri, she was the wife of Datan, and an Egyptian policeman took out her husband to work and did a sin with her, and she got pregnant, and she had a baby, and this is the baby here, we don't know his name. His mother is a Jew, his father actually is an Egyptian policeman, and he is having some kind of an argument and fight, a quarrel with another Jew about a tent or about something else. And they're getting into a fight and he opens up his mouth and he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they brought him to Moshe, maybe not. It's machloket what happened exactly, but it's irrelevant. The way it says in the Torah, he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He cursed Hashem with Hashem's name. That's the Gemara says in the dream. And Yossi Yaked Yossi. The Gemara says, it says that Yud Kei Vav Kei is going to curse Yud Kei Vav Kei. It says this, they caught him, they brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then you sentence 12, by Yanichuba, Mishma, Lifrosh Lehem Api Hashem. Lifrosh Lehem Api Hashem. That says Moshe doesn't know the halacha. They go to Moshe and says, you know, this guy cursed God. So Moshe said, really? He says, what to do with him? Moshe said, I have no idea. He says, Moshe, you don't know what to do to this guy. Moshe, any other halacha you know? Well, almost all the halachot I know, almost. Every halacha the Gemara says that a student is going to say, until Mashiach will come, Moshe learned it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While he was there 40 days and 40 nights, he learned everything. Learned everything besides four or five things. One of the four or five things is this guy. This is the curse of Hashem. They bring him to Moshe. Moshe said, I have no idea. He's innocent. Innocent. And Moshe, how about if somebody curses his father? Moshe says, oh, that's the Torah. Pashat Mishpatim. Mikalel Aviv Imo Mot Yumat. Somebody curses his father, you kill him. How about somebody curses his father after his father died? After his father died, also, you kill the guy. But somebody curses his father, you kill him. Somebody curses his father after his father after his father died, you kill him. If somebody cursed Hashem, Moshe, what do you say? I have no idea. Now, are you for real? Somebody cursed his dead father. His father died 100 years ago. He cursed his father. Two witnesses heard it. They take him to the Bedin. The Bedin is going to hang him. And says, well, you cursed your father. He says, my father died 100 years ago. Death. Death penalty, whoever curses. He says, how about you curse Avicha Sheba Shamayim, your father? In Shamayim, Moshe said, I have no idea. No idea. He says, Moshe, you learned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, I learned. 40 days, 40 nights, I learned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you did? He says, what's the halacha? What does Hashem tell you? Hashem didn't tell me. Hashem didn't tell you? That's the halacha that Hashem forgot to tell you? And that's what I was going to say, that Moshe called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and on the hotline, and Hashem told me, no, you have to kill this guy, they kill this guy. By the way, if Hashem wants to tell me this halacha, Hashem doesn't have to tell me a story in the Torah that something happened in the desert, that somebody cursed Hashem, and Moshe did not know what to do, and Moshe asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem told him, listen, kill the guy, and Moshe killed him, and then Torah will come and say, and whoever curses Hashem should be killed. You don't just write a dry statement like you have other halachot in the Torah without a story. Not every time Hashem said do or not to do, Hashem brings a story. It says, there's a lot of halachot in the Torah. He says, do this, don't do this. Without stories, it says, this is halacha that Hashem wants us to know. First of all, Hashem should have taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe was in Shamayim. And if Hashem has any reason not to tell it to Moshe, okay, now he wants to tell it to Moshe, go ahead. Write in the Torah, don't curse Hashem. You're not allowed to curse Hashem. But you don't have to tell me, listen, once upon a time in the desert, somebody had a fight, and because he had a fight, he cursed Hashem, and they brought him to Moshe, Moshe is not supposed to know. And Moshe called Hashem, and Hashem said, kill him, and then from now on, kill a person. And says, what do you have to know it? So just write in the Torah simple, don't curse. That's the end of the statement. It says, don't tell me somebody in the desert had a fight and cursed. It's irrelevant. It's not Torah. It's just a story. I don't know the story.
Isn't that also
for... It will be the name of the person, some gossip. Maybe it was the governor or something, you know, some gossip. It's not nothing. We don't know anything about it.
Isn't that falling on the
finger
in Hashem's curse?
Yeah, that's it. So Moshe doesn't know? So Moshe doesn't know it? Because that kind of Moshe doesn't know it. On Yom Kippur, the custom of the halacha is, the Chachamim made it, you know, we read the Haftarah of Yonah Hanavi. Chachamim say Segula for Parnassah. Matir Yonah is Segula, you get Matir Yonah, Segula you'll be rich. I don't know who made it up exactly, who was the first one made it up. I don't see anything over there about wealth in this Haftarah, those four chapters. In Sefer Yonah, I don't see anything. Excuse me, we do see something about Teshuvah. Since we, you know, Yom Kippur is before Ne'ilam, Yom Kippur Ne'ilam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu send Yonah Navi to go and preach and tell the Nineveh, the part in Iraq, to do Teshuvah, and actually at the end of the Teshuvah, and Hashem was so-called postponed or waived the punishment, so it means maybe it's a message for us. But there's nothing to do to become rich, not to become rich. That's true. I said, no, who made it up? Who was the first one that came up with this idea? After you're now. You read, I mean, if it is, you know, if you know, it's been rich. Like Korach, I understand. So it's Zugula to read about Yonah. His neshama will help you in Shamayim to become rich. There's no information about Yonah, he was rich at all. There's no information, anything about wealth in this Haftarah, after Yonah. Nothing. I says, nevertheless, Segula, after Yonah, you go to certain Knesset, it costs 100,000, sometimes it costs even $500,000. It depends where you live. In Dim, New Jersey, it costs a few hundred thousand dollars after Yonah. The only the rich people buy it. I don't know, maybe that's what it means. It's not a segula to be rich, it's a segula for the shul to be rich. So you know, the rich man buys it and he gives it to the shul so he gives donation. Maybe that's it. Okay, the story that we read in the Tanakh is very, very dry and simple. It says the person, his name was Yonah. By the way, he was the one that Eliyahu Navi revived. That baby that died, that Eliyahu Navi stayed in the house of Isha Tzafatit. And the baby died and Eliyahu Navi revived him. His name is Yonah. This is Yonah. That means his actual father now is Eliyahu Navi. And he put in inside himself a new soul, new neshama. The baby was actually dead completely, and he revived him, and now he's so-called Navi Yonah. Okay, his father is Amitai, maybe yes, maybe not, but that's the way he's being described in the Tanakh, Yonah ben Amitai. Okay, so Yonah ben Amitai, Hashem igat hefer, so Hashem calls and revealed himself to him a few times. Now it's number three that Hashem tells him, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is in Ashur, it's in Iraq. It means you have to go east from Eretz Israel. This is the time, of course, of first Beit HaMikdash. And you go tell the people of Nineveh to do Teshuvah Shelema. Of course, the king at Nineveh at the time, if you remember, was Paro, that he was already living a few hundred years. Hashem saved him from Egypt. And now he became the king in Ashur, in Iraq. And Mr. Yonah decided for a legitimate reason, says the Midrash, he doesn't want to go east. He doesn't want to say, listen, Hashem told you to go. I mean, it's not a joke. Hashem tells you to go. I says, you Navi. You the one, you know, you were dead once. And you know, Navi revived you. And he says, I'm not going, forget about it. He says, well, Hashem sent you. He says, well, I know how to get out of it. I says, how do you go out of it? He says, I'm going to run away from Hashem. You know, this is, you know, in kindergarten you can say such things. You know, you run away from Hashem, you run away from the principal. But you know, a Navi cannot say a statement like this. So he goes to Yafo, he wants to board a ship, a boat. He wants to run away to the ocean, to the Mediterranean. He says, I'm not having any obligation to go east. I'm going west. Going west. He says, Hashem tried to go east. I'm running away from him. Very, very strange. He's running away from him. He said, you know, in the ocean there is no respect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, the respect of Hashem is on earth. Said, what does it mean? What does it mean, there's no respect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over. He said, forget about it. I know. Hashem is not in the water. He's running to the water. He comes to the pier, to the dock, and there's no boat. He's standing over there. He wants to buy a ticket to go on the boat. There's no boats. There's no boat. He said, the last boat left. And there's no boat anymore. Says, all of a sudden you see a boat is coming back. He says, who is the boat? It says, this boat came back because the boat went 2 days ago to the Mediterranean and was a storm. And the storm brought back the boat. So Yonah is standing over there. He says, you see? I know what I'm doing. I'm running away from Hashem. Look. Look what's going on. The boat came back to pick me up. It goes to the top of the boat. He says, let me on the boat. He said, no, it's full. Even first class is full. He says, let me pay. I pay all the for everybody. He pays the whole thing. He goes on the boat. And the story is known that he goes on the boat and the Hashem made a storm and they threw him into the Mediterranean and the fish swallowed him. Fish swallowed him and then the fish threw him back on the dry land and then he goes to Ashur. That's the way it says again on the text. In the text, and the Navis are not, that's how it is. The Gemara, the Midrash, the Zohar, continues the story with details. It says, when Yonah fell into the water, a fish swallowed him. The fish swallowed him, so Yonah goes inside the fish, and the Midrash says, don't think the fish was a little fish. It was inside the fish like a bit knesset inside. It was very, very big, like a giant. Like a whale, not the biggest whale that we know, but something very big, and Yonah goes inside, and the fish says to Yonah, welcome to America, here you are. I was calling America Ellis Island, but I have bad news to tell you, that this is my last day. In a few minutes, you see the big whale coming towards us, and it's going to swallow us. So Yonah tells the fish, listen, I want to show you something. The fish tells the other listeners, don't tell me anything. By the way, if you want to look it up, it's Midrash Tanchuma, Parashat Vayikra, Seif Chet. So the fish tells Yonah, listen, it's not something that I imagine or I know. This is from creation. Hashem decided that I'm going to be swallowed by the big whale. Yonah tells the fish, don't worry about it, I'm going to show you. So Yonah stands up in front of the fish, the whale comes. The whale comes, Yonah says to the whale, listen, mister, I want to tell you something. You better get away from here, because I'm going to catch you and I'm going to slaughter you and give your flesh, your meat, to the holy people, to tzaddikim. So the Midrash don't think that Yonah was just threatening him. It's true. That says the fish saw the glory, the purity of Yonah, the whale ran away. The whale ran away, Yonah says to the fish, you owe me one. You owe me one. You see, I saved you. You told me you're going to be eaten by the whale. Here you are. Please take me around. To show me what's going on down in the ocean, all around the world, deep in the ocean. So the whale goes around and shows Yonah, the fish, like a little whale, takes Yonah all over, shows him everything. At the end, he brings Yonah underneath Bet HaMikdash. It says, underneath the Midrash, there's a lot of water. So that fish swam from the Mediterranean under the water, and he tells him to look upstairs, you can see this Eben HaShtiyah. This is Yimach Shemam Demach. This is now you see Bet HaMikdash, you stand on Bet HaMikdash. And says, over there is Kodesh HaKodeshim. You see on top of you, that's the place where Kohen HaGadol goes. You know, said, oh, that's the right place. Thank you very much for bringing him over here. I'm going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to release me from this problem. I mean, I love, you know, it is very nice meeting you, and thank you for the tour, but, you know, I'd rather go back to my house, you know, I ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but, you know, I see I got caught by the fish. Now I want to go back home. So I fall down over here, and I'm praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, you're not standing over there. I'm praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to go home. I see, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to be a good boy. Nothing happens. If he says no, Yonah says no. I didn't get no green light yet. So the fish asks him, what are you going to do? He says, one second, one more thing I want to tell him. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Nadarti HaShalema. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I made a promise. I promise you that I'm going to fulfill my promise. What did you promise? I made a neder. I promise. What did you promise? I promise that one day Mashiach will come. And when Mashiach will come, Hashem said that he is going to take the whale, the big whale, and slaughter him, and give the meat to the tzaddikim to eat. And I said, I am the one that's going to catch the whale. When Hashem heard it, at that moment, Yonah said that statement, that he's going to catch the whale and Mashiach will come. At that moment, the fish went and spit Yonah on the dry land, finished the story up. Chaim Zariah, he says, no, can you imagine something like this? Listen, talking about the holiest of the holiest is Yonah and Nabi that overcome the whale. He says, in Shishnu Mishat Hashem Medi Gezerah, and Hashem said that fish that Yonah is inside is going to be swallowed by the big whale. That means it's written in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's book that this is the last day of the fish. That's what the Chochmat Olam is written, Hashem decided it. So this Yonah is very massive, very powerful tzaddik. He is the real tzaddik. He talks to the fish, he talks to the whale, he threatens the whale, and he overcomes the whale. The whale ran away. Not only that, the fish takes him around, shows him everything. Not only that, he brings it to underneath the Hamikdash, and he prays, he doubles over there, nothing. Hashem will not release him. Hashem is going to release him when? When you said he's going to fulfill his promise. He says, what is his promise? Bezrat Hashem, maybe, Bezrat Hashem, one day Mashiach will come. Okay, and then Hashem said he's going to slaughter the fish. So, and then Yonah said he's going to catch the fish. You're going to catch the fish. You're going to say, that's called a neder, that's called a promise. Somebody says he's going to catch the moon. He's going to catch the sun. He's going to Mars. I says, are you for real? Yeah, maybe in America. I live in America. They put you on a satellite and you're going to go to the Mars. But somebody standing on me today says, I'm going to go to Mars. I'm going to catch Mars. Are you for real, Yonah? I said, Yonah says, he's going to catch the whale. You're going to catch the whale. How are you going to catch the whale? Okay, I understand. You think you already can, you have some power because you're holy man. But to say such a statement, and Hashem took it seriously. for this promise, for that statement that Yonah said, Hashem released Yonah from the fish. So the Ari says like this, there is a thing that's called Atzilut. Atzilut means there's a world upstairs. This is called the final destination. The final destination, that's really what we get in Shmoneh Esrei, when we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for certain things, and we really mean it. As if Hashem should give Parnasah, Parashlema, all the things that they request that you have, and you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day, it's a Shmoneh Esrei, it's called Atzilut. It means it's a certain part in Shamayim, that over there Hashem accepts and fulfills the request immediately. I says, what is that thing? He said, that thing, Ari says, it has to do with the statement of the people. I said, you find it first in Parashat Bo, in Sefer Shmot, when Moshe came on Rosh Chodesh, and told them, Israel on Rosh Chodesh, I want you to take on the 10th day of Chodesh Nisan a sheep or a goat and slaughter it. But the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from Moshe to Am Yisrael on the first day of Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh. But actually the act to do it was said to do it 9 days later. Nevertheless, after Moshe finished the statement, comes the Torah, Parashat Bo, says, Am Yisrael did it. Comes the Gemara, says, I did it. Today is the first day. They're going to do it. Says the Gemara, no. Actually, they did it. Says, they went, they got the goat. No, they didn't get the goat. They got the sheep, they didn't get the sheep. As long as they made up their mind, they're going to do it. It's like the thing was done. The thing was done. Hashem said to do it on the 10th. He told me they did it already. Now physically, they didn't do it physically. So they didn't do it. No, they did it. Because they mean to do it. They want to do it. They accept themselves to do it. It's like the thing was done. It's very hard to understand what it means. The same very similar statement is of Chag HaShavuot. You see, Chag HaShavuot, the power of Chag HaShavuot, the time of Chag HaShavuot, is that Israel said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma means we will do and we will listen. All the Chachamim say, what do you mean you'll do and you listen? How do you know what to do? Comes the Gemara and says, no, it's like an angel. An angel, he does and then he listens. Givurot ke'achoset v'aro lishmo, because the angel says, you don't understand. It's not to do or not to do. It is to accept and expect to the final destination. It says, we say every day in Yuvalet Zion, Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lichmodo. If somebody would ask us, why did Hashem make us and create us? The answer is, for His respect. It means when, not in today's life, in the future life. When the future life and Mashiach will come, then Hashem's glory will be seen and shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everybody will say, aha, see, now I know Hashem. So how do you know Hashem? They look at the Jewish person, look at the Jewish creature, look how the Jews behave. It says, now I see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not in our time. In time, the time is going to come. This is what's called Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, says, it's not what you do today. It's irrelevant. You want to keep Shabbat, you don't want to keep Shabbat. You want to keep things today, which means nothing. This is just a training for you, for the future tense. When Mashiach will come, that by looking at you, people will say, aha, you see, this is the product that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and made. Hashem made us, not for us to walk around here today, this is just for the future tense. And that's what we say in Valet Zion, Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lichvodo, and then immediately we say, Shnichev and Yizkel, Vata Mashiach, Ha'alam Haba, and says, what, how those sentences came from Mashiach, when Mashiach went? He says, prior to that statement, we say, Valet Zion Goel, Mashiach will come, and he says, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Vod Hashem Komo, Shemim Lechulam Ba'ed, he says, what's this? And he says, this might be the most important part in Shacharit. He says, the words, the Gemara says, standing on that top. It says, what is the significance when we say Valet Zion? It says, Valet Zion means at the end Mashiach will come. It says, so. It says, all the requests that we requested in Shmoneh Esrei, if you want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Parnasah, Refuah, all the things. It says, why do you want it? Why do you want it? It says, it's not for you, for this life. It says, I need it for this life in order for me, eventually, when Mashiach will come, so called to make Hashem's name holy. That's called Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem is opposite, it means disgrace Hashem's name. It is not now. Disgrace Hashem's name means in the future tense. Now Hashem doesn't tell us. That's why Moshe doesn't know what to do to that person. That's a joke. Somebody stands in front of Hashem and curses Hashem. That's a nonsense. Nonsense. You curse Hashem and your father, it does harm the father. It does harm. Even if the father is dead, it means open up the file of the father in Shemaim. But if you curse Hashem, it means nothing. So somebody was cursing Hashem, they went to Moshe and said, the man needs a psychiatrist help. I mean, you have to put him in a sanatorium. Curse Hashem. Curse Hashem. It is not a big joke. Therefore, Moshe didn't even learn it. There's nothing to learn about it because it's not true. This is Parasha. We'll show you a new angle that's called Atzilut. This Parasha will show you something we're talking about, the future tense. Future tense is like this. Listen, you've seen. Okay, I've seen, I know I've seen. I think comes Yom Kippur, you want to have a forgiveness from Hashem. No way you have a forgiveness from Hashem. Doesn't matter you do Ta'anit, you don't do Ta'anit. Only way Hashem will forgive you, if you tell Hashem, listen, I want to explain you something. You see, my job on this world is to make you holy. If you're going to punish me, in a way, it's embarrassment for you. It says it's me, it says you creature, and the creature doesn't give you any positive image. Because that's the creature that you created, look what it does. So, I would like to correct myself, and I would never sin again. But again, it's not because I needed forgiveness for this lifetime, for this time. For this time, you deserve a punishment. But I say, listen, I know I deserve a punishment. But when you punish me also, you have to understand, in a way it's embarrassing you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, it's not because I don't deserve it. I deserve punishment. I understand. I confess I deserve punishment. But by you not punishing me, I will be a role model. I says, what do you mean role model? He says, Yonah. He says, Yonah, he asked for forgiveness. Hashem did not forgive him. He says, he's standing under the Tamidash, Hashem does not forgive him. He's inside the whale, inside the fish, and he has power to get rid of the whale. Perfect. As far as getting out of jail, inside the fish, you never get out. So when are you going to get out? If when you say like this, I made a promise. What is the promise? The promise is when Mashiach will come, Hashem said he wants to give that whale as a meal, what's called sushi. Sushi is called, not sushi. Sushi. So the tradition, they eat sushi. He says, what are you trying to say? He says, I'm trying to say that my life is not the present life. My life is the destination, the goal of this creation is me making Hashem's name holy. How do I do it? By me, by behaving right. He says, let me live on Yom Kippur, let me go out of the fish, and I will do it. He says, what are you going to do? He says, you know, when time comes, and Hashem was going to take the whale out, you know, people said, what? You know, you go today to any aquarium, you see a big fish, you say, wow, wow, wow. Can you imagine the whale? I said, the whale, it's a whale. Said, look, now Hashem is going to take the whale and slaughter it. I said, you know what? I volunteer to jump into the ocean, into the Mediterranean, and get the whale. I know the whale is down there. I said, are you serious? Yeah. This is why, because I know this is my goal, this is Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why Hashem created me, for His respect. I says this is really, if you know, Arin says that we have like so-called seven entities that are in the sky, and this we have something very similar, that this week's parasha will tell us, that we have number seven. This is the Yer Shlosha Regalim, and then we have Pesach Shemot Sukkot, and then we have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as five, where we have Sefirat HaOmer, it's a six, we have Shabbat, it's seven. So what it means is like this, we don't count the Omer. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're waiting for Shavuot. He says, what's Shavuot? It's not Shavuot, it's in our seven Ishmael of Shavuot. It says, Shavuot is time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, but He gave us the Torah on that condition, this was the purpose. The purpose is not our life. It's not the time that we're living right now. It's irrelevant. It's just now as we live right now, the preparation. So hopefully in our time, in our life, Mashiach will come. And Mashiach will come with the biggest Kiddush Hashem. So this is what's so important about Kiddush Hashem. It's not the theme that somebody disgraces Hashem's name. What it means is that somebody does not want Hashem's name to be holy. So this is, again, defeating the purpose of creation. And that's what the Torah says. The Gemara says, "Amil Dafsir Hashem is no forgiveness." What is no forgiveness? Not because no forgiveness, because it's a punishment. It's not a punishment. It means you have no right to breathe over here. The only reason you have a right to breathe is because hopefully one day your entity, one day your behavior will bring Hashem's respect to the world. It is if you cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you do with Kol Chilul Hashem, it says what it means is not a sin. It's just you took yourself out of that situation, of that position, that you are a candidate to be something like what Yonah HaNavi promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to rewrite the original Mo'adim. This is something that is called Atzilut. This is a different place in Shamayim that a person should think not in his lifetime what he does. It's irrelevant what you did now in your lifetime. For this time, it's important for you how you're going to be a role model for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Mashiach will come in order for Hashem's name to be big. As the Medrash says, what he says, the Medrash says that Yonah says, you know what, Hashem sent me to East, to Iraq. I'm going to go on the water. On the water, there's no such thing future tense. And in the water, nothing will happen in Mashiach will come. Everything will happen on dry land. He says, I'm running away from that idea that I have to do something, and if I don't do it, Chilul Hashem. He says, it's not Chilul Hashem, because on the water, I'm not obligated. Yes, if I'm staying here, I have to behave. But on the water, nothing will ever happen. He says, the whole Kiddush Hashem, the whole respect of the world will be on dry land. He says, I'm going to run away. He says, I'm going to get on the boat, I'm running away. But Hashem is forcing you to understand that this is called Kiddush Hashem, it's future sense that you have obligation. You have to be a role model for the time to come. You can't run away. This is your obligation. This is the reason for your creation. So that is this is really the power of Surat HaOmer. When you count the Omer, you don't say, Sim Shiva HaOmer, HaOmer, and says it's Omer. It means nothing. It says, I'm expecting to get to Chag HaShavuot. What is Chag HaShavuot? Chag HaShavuot is very similar to what happened on Pesach. On Pesach, when Am Yisrael accepted to do that Korban Pesach, Hashem considered it like they did it. Because what it means, this is called the redemption. This is called Hashem's name, respect. Hashem's name got very big in Egypt. It is especially when he came out, it is like Hashem killed all the Bechorot. It says Hashem's name was very big. It says the same thing, the same idea is happening on Chag HaShavuot. It says this is the Sefirat HaOmer between Pesach and Shavuot. You're counting the days. It says what is the day? It's not how many days left to Chag HaShavuot. And how many days are between Pesach and Shavuot, both of them, have to do so-called with time of Mashiach, time of Hashem's name to get greater and greater, being respect. It says this is the Parashat HaMoadim, that's why Hashem writes it over here. It says this is the Parashat HaMor, it's a new paragraph about that Hashem gave Am Yisrael the power to call the Moadim to say when Rosh Chodesh is. It says because this, you are the role model. It says the power that I gave you to announce when Rosh Chodesh is and the Moadim are going to be according to your decision is because you're the role model. It says that's why I'm going to save Yonah from the fish is because of the future and so this Tariq says, this is the Shmonesre and the person prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know this is the idea. By the way, this is Chodesh Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the Tziruf of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, it says, come from the sentence in Sefer Yirmiyahu. That says if you want to be proud of yourself, that says you should be proud if you know Hashem. Askel v'yador oti, says Ari, this is really the sentence of this month. It says you know this is a special month. Chodesh Iyar is a very special month. That this is the month that you can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that statement that you're not here for your present life, you're here for your life. That's what Hashem and Mashiach will come to make this called Kiddush Hashem. This is why Kiddush Hashem is so important, and Chas v'Shalom, Kiddush Hashem's name is so bad, because it means that you just defeat the purpose of creation. It's not the sin that we do, it's just the goal that we have to get into, to the final destination. That's what Hashem counts. So that somebody does mitzvah, doesn't do mitzvah, it's not important to Hashem, says the Gemara. It's important, the training, because when you do the mitzvah and you keep not to do the certain things, that it going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu respect. And this is what the Sheva Levi said, that's the purpose of creation. It says you can fulfill it between Pesach and Shavuot, it's present to Atom.